So if you can just kind of get in the mindset of an early church century, first century, 90 maybe, AD, something like that. It's a very aged John. That's why I'm sitting. That is addressing the congregation as little children. And kind of just picture me maybe 60 years older than I am. And John's coming to speak to you this morning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Abba, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Abba, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that our joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Abba, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby we know that we are in him, if we keep his commandments. And he has given us of his Spirit. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hates his brother, is in darkness, even until now. But whoso loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But whoso hateth his brother walketh in darkness, and knoweth not where he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, Abbas, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written unto you, little children, because you have known the Abba. I have written unto you, Abbas, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Abba is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Abba, it is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Abba. But whosoever acknowledges the Son, he hath the Abba also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Abba. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But as you have received the anointing, and it abideth in you, you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you also shall continue in him. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Abba hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the Torah. For sin is the transgression of the Torah. But you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. But whoso committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because we love one another. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion on him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. But if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. And this is his commandments, that we all believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandments. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he abides in us by his Spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby we know the spirit of truth. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherever you have heard that it will come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that heareth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, and that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. He that dwelleth in God, God dwelleth in him, and he in him. And he has given us of his Spirit, and we know that the Spirit is true. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath towards us. God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we love God and love one another. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth that begot him loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, how can we not receive the witness of God? For this is the witness which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record which God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, our eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask of anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give them life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it, but we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. For we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Okay, friends, let's switch gears. If you could open up your Bible to 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Well, if we're going to give this a title, let's call it Overcoming the Evil One. Up until this point, of course, we had our introduction, kind of laying the groundwork for the book, letting us know that our sin can be forgiven if it's confessed. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. If you don't confess your sins, then he's not faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to clean you from all unrighteousness. Then we went on to see the propitiation. That is literally the word mercy seat in the original Greek. He, Jesus, is the mercy seat for all of us. And then he moves into the light, into the darkness, about loving and hating your brothers. And then he moves on to this section where he's addressing ground up in the church. The young men, the little children, the Abbas. And I want to zero in on what he says to the young men. 2:14, next, I have written unto you young men. Now, of course, this word young men is a, go to the next one, is a kind of a, well, the word grapho first is the word just where you get your word autograph from. You could hear grapho in there. So he's written this letter, send it to the local church, probably in Ephesus, and it's being read aloud in the service. So just the traditional word for writing. Then we'll go to the next one. And just the common word for men. It's kind of a generic term. So when you're thinking about this passage, just because you're not a young man, it doesn't apply to you. Okay? Just the people in general. We kind of think of it along those terms. So he's written on to these young people, the people in the church, right? Well, for what exact purpose? What was the main thrust behind John informing us of this? Next. Well, he calls them strong. You say, I don't feel strong. I definitely don't look strong, especially this morning. I don't feel strong. I just drove from California to here. But you are strong. What is the biblical formula for strength? That's a good question. I think it's rooted and based in, if we go back to the Tanakh, to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua's been given his marching orders. He's just about to jump from the Meribah Plateau across the Jordan River to attack Jericho first, and then head up towards the high hill country. And of course, then there's that famous verse in chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law, the scriptures up to his point, shall not depart out of your mouth, or they should rest on your lips, and you shall meditate, or you shall call up, murmur, deposit God's word day and night. Why should I take the time and the energy and the effort to do that, you might ask? Well, he goes on to tell us that then your ways will be prosperous, then you'll have good success. So spiritual success, spiritual prosperity, spiritual strength, that package is based in the meditation of God's word. I can only think of one other passage off the top of my head where you are promised to prosper. And I think it's just in Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. That's the only other I can think of, is the meditation of God's word, calling it up, thinking about it, and then praying for the second coming, praying for the peace of the city of Jerusalem. That's some background on where we're going here and where your strength is going to come from. Well, as you can read for yourself, it's go back. It's not our strength or Joshua's strength that gave him the ability to overcome. It was the obedience to the Torah that Joshua had stored up in his heart that gave Joshua the ability to overcome. Just like we're going to see in a moment here in this New Testament, this Brit Hadashah kind of similar package to overcome. How do you overcome the world? Next. I have written unto you, young men, okay, because you are strong. Now, he hasn't told us exactly yet how they became strong, but he starts to kind of let us peek behind the curtain here. They're strong because the word of God, the scriptures, abide in them. Well, what does that mean? That the word of God abides in them. Well, thank you for asking. Let's go to the next slide. Now, this word is menno, as you can probably see. And it's a complicated word. It appears, well, go to the next one. It appears, for example, in John 8:31, when the Lord said to the Jews which believed on him, if you menno, or if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, because we know that the religious elite, there's sources of Rabs who were in Roman imprisonment, in a barrel, chained up, and was pitch black inside the barrel, but they knew exactly what time of day it was every day from their reviewing of the scriptures from heart that were in their heart and head. But we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots, some of them did come to faith. For sure, we know that from the scriptures. But a lot of them really didn't like the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. And these guys had, many of them, probably all of the book of Moses or the whole Tanakh memorized. So how could you have that whole mass amount of scripture in your heart and still have your eyes shut and your ears closed? That's because it didn't abide in them. So what does abide mean? Next. Well, it means to stay, to make home, to not tarry, to be continually held present in whatever place the author's talking about. So John says, I wrote unto you, you young men and you local church in Ephesus, and you're strong young men. And the reason you guys are strong, because you're like Joshua. Okay, well, what did Joshua do? Joshua did not let the word of God, he let it make home in his heart. He made room for it. He cleared out what needed to be cleared out so the word of God could come to be at home and then to take root in him and grow in him and hold on to his heart and then sprout and bear fruit. That's kind of along the lines what abide means, to keep continually. Next. And finally, you have overcome the wicked one. How did they overcome the wicked one? By the word of God abiding in them, in their heart. John has the motif or the pattern of overcoming in his gospel, in his epistles, and in Revelation. He likes this word. In John 16:33, Jesus says at the end of the verse, Know that you will have tribulation in the world, but be of great cheer, because I have overcome the world. And then you have in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice. And then, of course, what we just heard in John. You've overcome the world. Now, because we have a life where we are overcomers, it's not necessarily, though, just the life of fellowship and faith. It's also a life of overcoming the evil one. And how do you overcome the evil one? The best example is given in the life of the Lord. Somewhere in the wilderness, he is attacked. What does he do? I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't do this. Say, hold on a second, Lucifer. I know this verse is here somewhere. Right? See, this is separate from your body. This abiding in your heart, this word of continually being kept in your heart, that's how you overcome. So when you are in a certain situation, at any hour, day, month, or year, and you're attacked, you have that word to be called up, like our friends do who memorize Romans 12, can then utilize that weapon, the only weapon, by the way, right from last time, that you're given in your litany of military garb is the sword, and you're prepared. Now, next, what does the word of God abiding in you produce? Why should I hide God's word in my heart? Why should I take time to memorize it? I know it's a dirty word. To, let's say, have it abide in me. What does it do? Well, we see right here, it makes meditation possible when you don't have access to your phone or to the printed page. You're driving like we are from here to close to St. Louis after this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What is going through these people's mind that are driving down the road? For it is a shame even to speak of those things probably which they think of. But you have that word in you. It's abiding in you. You're overcoming your thought life. Your mind wants to go sometimes to certain places. And we can't let it go there. How do you stop it from letting it go there? Prayer, obviously. You call up that word that abides in you and you overcome the situation. Next. The word of God abiding in you will encourage your walk and your faith. So if you're walking in the Spirit and you're in the light, not in the darkness, and you think of verses like, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. If it's his will, you have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. It encourages your faith and your walk when you can just saturate your mind and your heart on the word that has taken root and lives and abides within you. If you don't put it in, everyone fills themselves with something, whatever that is. What are you making room for in your heart? Next. Go back. What's God's will for my life? You always hear people asking this question. And it's a good question. It's a legitimate question. But no matter where you are and what you're doing, if you're walking in the Spirit, and you're abiding in him and in his word and being directed by what his word's telling you to do, you're in his will. Next. This is a big one. The Lord Jesus is probably not going to talk to you through a donkey. I doubt an angel is going to come to your bedpost tonight and communicate verbally with you. You want to know God? You have to know His Word. Putting His mind, and this mind which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind was in Christ Jesus? The Scripture. Next. We touched on this for a moment. But having that Scripture in your heart, it protects your thought life. It lets you know what's right and what's wrong. This is something I struggle with. I really don't like my brother. My physical, biological brother. He's an antichrist. I don't like him. Anything about him, to be honest with you. But I'm glad I memorized this for a couple of reasons. And, you know, one of them is that. Having to have to spend the last week with him at work, every day before to work, what do I say to myself? He that says he's in the light, that's me, right? And hates his brother, he's in darkness. And he walks in darkness. And he doesn't know where he's going. Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And again, in another place, it says that whoever hates his brother, he's a murderer. And does not have eternal life abiding in him. Wow. I really need to work on my heart and love him. And that's what, among other things, when the word is abiding in you and taking root and then sprouting and growing fruit, that's what's displayed in your lifestyle and in your choices, not the opposite. Next. This is an important one as well. When that word is abiding in you, you can speak a word to someone. Not one of these things where God told me to tell you this kind of things. Like in a time of comfort and need, you can really communicate and bless that person. I was in the hospital not too long ago and someone's right there and they're about to die. What do you say to them? You say that the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and of such that are of a contrite spirit, because they were down, you know. The Lord's near to you, you know. You speak that word to them. How can you do that? Because it's in here. And then it changes this. And it can change them. It's all about overcoming. A daily battle of overcoming the world and all that is therein. And you have no chance, friend, none at all, of overcoming unless the Word of God abides in you. And that's why we're here today on Shabbat. Because we want the Word to abide in us and we want to continue on this process to have the mind of God, the heart of God, right? In our heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this Shabbat. We pray that you would continue to bless it. We thank you for your Word and its perspicuity, its clearness towards us. Lord God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we pray that we would remember what John said. Not only this weekend, but through the months, the days, the weeks, and the years ahead. And that we would continue to strive or start striving to have the Word of God abide in us so that you can look down on us and you can say, they are strong. And they are overcoming. In Yeshua's name, amen.